Father in heaven, I want to thank you for this moment that you orchestrated. And for all that has come before this point, for how you've directed and guided. And now I pray in the brief moments remaining, Lord, you'll bring the message clear as crystal to each heart and mind. Remove all obstacles from hearing so that we can see that you're sincerely trying to reach us in a more dynamic and a more close way than ever before because of the lateness of the hour. So let your spirit fall, Lord, and take these thoughts that are whirling in my mind and make them orderly and organized so that we can know for sure we heard you speak and that we would make a decision based on the action you're inviting us to take. So do this now, Lord, for us. And thank you for hearing, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know how many of you noticed this Time magazine, I guess it was last week, December 7th. And the headline article is "The Decade from Hell." Anybody see this article and read it? Okay. Okay, you, not many. This is amazing. This author here, Andy Servoer, recaps this whole decade and is expounding on how incredible things took place. I wish I had time to go into it, but I don't, because that isn't the point of this sermon. But I want to show you a brief sentence that Andy stated during this article, and he said this: sometimes it was as if the gods themselves were conspiring against this decade. And brothers and sisters, I want you to know that that statement is closer than truth than anybody really realizes. And so I want you to take a look at this picture and tell me this. What is wrong with this picture? Now, there's no technological detail or detail here, or, you know, painting. What's wrong with this picture? I'm going to ask that question. I'm going to give you three clues and see if the Spirit of God will speak to your heart the way He did to mine, so that you can see what I'm driving at here. What is wrong with this picture? All right? Clue number one. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke, the second chapter. Now, I'm going to continue the story that Maddie already started in verse 1 through 7. Please take your Bibles. Children, open your Bibles. Follow along as I read here. This is the Word of God. There's something very special here. We want the Spirit to begin to indicate to our mind what was wrong with that picture you see behind me. And so the first clue is found in Luke, the second chapter, verse 8. And we're going to read the whole story to verse 18. And we'll see if you can determine on the first clue what's wrong with that picture. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you: you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, living in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into the heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. What is wrong with this picture? Now that I read the story to you, I realize this really wasn't a clue. I'm just buying some time here. I thought when I wrote this that it was a clue. But there is something very wrong with this picture. So I'm going to assume you didn't get it, okay? Oh, you got it? Okay, do I take a chance, Ed? What is it? Oh, Ed, man, you're like Sandra now. In fact, let me give you clue number two, just in case you wanted it. I want you to turn to Matthew, the second chapter, and I want you to look at clue number two, why there's something wrong with this picture. Take your Bibles again. Please go to the story. We're going to look at the visit of the Magi, verses 1 through 9. For there's something terribly wrong with that picture, technically speaking. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, now just check this clue out. Where is he that's born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes and the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written in the prophets, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art thou not least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. And then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquiring of them diligently what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. When ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary the mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned by God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. What is wrong with this picture? Even though Ed ruined it, maybe the other side of the church didn't hear him. There's something terribly wrong here, folks. This is the greatest event that ever occurred in the ages. And I'm going to give you the third clue. It's found in Deuteronomy, the 12th chapter. I want you to take your Bibles and turn there and see how we link the Bible together to discover these important truths that we need to know. Important things that begin to work on our hearts and minds and make us stop and wonder where we really are in our relationship with God. Do you have Deuteronomy? And by the way, Deuteronomy, I'll just simply say to you, is probably my favorite book in all the Bible, believe it or not. And I want you to listen what it says in verse 5 and verse 11 and 21. And this clue should be the clue for everyone that seals it. Deuteronomy 12, verse 5. I'm going to do 4. Ye shall not do so unto the Lord your God, verse 5. But unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall you seek, and thither shall you come. Now remember, they haven't crossed over the Jordan yet. Verse 11, he repeats to them, and there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Thither shall ye bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, your heave offerings of your hand, and all your choice vows which you vowed unto the Lord. And finally, verse 21, this is called overkill. If the place which the Lord thy God chooses to put his name, there be too far for thee, which the Lord thy God has chosen to put his name, there be too far from thee, then thou shalt kill the herd and of the flock which the Lord has given thee, and I have commanded thee, and thou shalt eat in thy gate whatsoever thou soul lustest after. Now what's the matter with this picture? What's the matter with it? Folks, this is what should have happened. But it didn't. Do you got that? Are you looking? Have you connected it yet? That's okay. That's why I'm here. What's wrong with this picture is the angels could go to no other place in God's chosen territory and find anybody looking for him except some stinky, smelly, lowly shepherds. He couldn't go there. Now, doesn't that startle anybody else in this auditorium? In fact, I wonder where we would be right now if Jesus suddenly returned. What's wrong with this picture is his chosen leaders and teachers and hotshots that claim to know the truth. We're not even aware of his birth, except some stinky, lowly, smelly shepherds. In fact, I want you to notice what the Desire of Ages tells us the reason for this. Read this very carefully. And by the way, you will find it in your bulletin. Look under the announcements and you will find it there. I gave mine away. You have the blue sheet of paper. It's inside your bulletin that has the calendar on it, the backside. Take a look at the quote for the day. This is from the Desire of Ages. Yeah, Maddie, you took mine. Thank you. I want you to go home with this quote. I want you to carry this quote. I maybe even want you to cut it out and memorize it or carry it with you. I want you to listen that with amazement, the heavenly messengers beheld the indifference of the people whom he, God, had called to communicate to the world the light of sacred truth. The Jewish nation had been preserved as a witness that Christ was to be born of the seed of Abraham and of David's line. Yet they knew not of his coming, that it was now at hand in the temple, in the morning and evening sacrifice, daily pointing to the Lamb of God. Yet even there was no preparation to receive him. The priests and the teachers of the nation knew not that the greatest event of the ages was about to take place. They rehearse their meaningless prayers and perform their rites of worship to be seen by men, but in their strive for riches and worldly honor, they were not prepared for the revelation of the Messiah. The same indifference pervaded the land of Israel. Hearts selfish and world engrossed were untouched by the joy that thrilled all of heaven. Only a few were longing to behold the unseen. To these heavenly embassies was sent. Now let me break it down for you. Number one, the priests and teachers were what? Indifferent and rich and worldly honor, seeking rich and worldly honor. Therefore, they were not what? Prepared. The land of Israel was indifferent and selfish in heart and worldly engrossed. Therefore, they were untouched by the joy that thrilled all of heaven. And then, only a few longed to behold the unseen. To these, heaven's embassy was sent. Desire of Ages 4:44. Okay, let me break it down for you again. What about us? Indifferent. Do you come to Sabbath school, church, and prayer meeting? Or are you indifferent to the lateness of the hour and that all three of these plus other things we do are absolutely essential to keep your spiritual tone high in a world that is secular and humanist and materialist and is bombarding us like crazy? Are you indifferent and always have excuses why you can't make the events of the church, including Sabbath school, which starts at 9:15. By the way, if your employer said, you will be here tomorrow at 7:30, what time would you go to work? The God of heaven has asked you to come here at 9:15. Now, I know that in the stones of heaven, it's not written 9:15, but that's what this church body chose to look at as the beginning of Sabbath school. Therefore, what we do on earth is done in heaven. God shines upon that. Are you here at 9:15? By the way, let me get more exact. And if you wonder where I'm going with this, you need to know that when you fall in love with your people, your main desire is that we are spiritually toned and are awakened to the lateness of the hour and how indifferent all of us are. If you have little children and do not bring them to the Sabbath school, you are probably most likely dooming them for eternity because in public school, they are not getting a Christian training. By the way, this is coming from a brand new book that I just received that I'm partway through that is giving us statistics that's incredible that I'm going to bring to all of you parents who want to hear it, and it's on a DVD. The children are leaving in masses when they get older. Indifferent. Do you come to Sabbath school and church and prayer meeting? If you don't, and you can, by the way, and you can come. You just choose not to come. I want you to know the end result is they were not prepared for the revelation of the Messiah. Number two, riches. Are you faithful in returning to God his tithe, but giving to the church your offering? And listen, I know about the economic times, but I want to tell you as your pastor that if I have to change places with you, which I don't want to do if you're jobless, but I may have to. Okay? But let me tell you what I'm saying. My check comes from your faithfulness. You know that? And I believe that pretty soon I'll stop getting a check. Then we'll find out if I'm really called to the ministry or not. I'm just doing this for job. I don't care what your economic status is. A nickel crosses your table. One penny needs to be taken out immediately to return to God as owned by Him. Let me use a dime. It makes it simpler. If a dime passes your table and you are out of work, folks, one penny goes to God. And the Bible is explicit. Don't ever come to church with empty hand. Then bring another penny for the church. If you ever want to be blessed, if I ever want to be blessed, we must be faithful in our tithes, in our offerings, recognizing God's the one that gives the riches, not man. Man teaches, well, under these circumstances, things have changed. You know, you got little kids, they need milk. It's time we get down on our knees and pray, God, send a quart of milk because this is my tithe, this is my offering. And I have nothing left for milk. And I want you to know, expect a knock on the door before the night closes. Because if we don't, and riches are part of our problem, I want you to know we are not prepared for the revelation of the Messiah. Number three, worldly honor. How do you act away from church? Are you the same person here that you are out there? Or does some of this get put on the hold because it just doesn't quite accommodate your situation at work? Like they tell dirty jokes, and if the boss does that, I don't dare let him know that I don't approve of this. I'll just pretend I'm listening, but I'm really not. Oh, income tax. Well, you know, I could give more money to the church, and I'm just going to fudge on this figure here. You know, I wish you were all pastors. I try that. And every time I do, God goes, thou shalt not lie. Even in the smallest detail, God is looking for people like the shepherds who in their naivety or ignorance or whatever you want to call it, just plain trusted the Lord. And angels were sent to them. In fact, I beg you to answer, where would the angels have gone if there weren't the shepherds? And I think, Lord, would I have been amongst the shepherds or would I have been in Jerusalem with the hotshots? And folks, I can't tell you for absolutely sure the answer to that question. Are you the same here that you are out there? Or do you play to the world because it'll help your situation better? But I'll just do it for now, or I don't know, whatever your logic may be. Stop and think. Let's apply these principles. Because if your actions here is different from there or different there from here, then I want you to know you're not prepared for the revelation of the Messiah. We are not prepared for the revelation of the Messiah. Heart selfish? Do you help others? You know, we were at a supper recently and they said, I saw a man begging at the exit, and I just had this urge to bring him home. This was a woman. And we had a discussion about that. What would Jesus have done? Have you read the parable of the Good Samaritan lately? And by the way, that'll be my first sermon for the New Year's, the Good Samaritan. Because I reread it, I'm going through the Desire of Ages again. That means I'm close to the end of the Desire of Ages. And it convicted me again of how slothful full I really am, even as a Seventh-day Adventist minister? Are you helping anybody? Do you go to the homeless ministry of this church? Do you go with Ed to sing at the nursing home, which is today? Take some of your precious time and go and sing. And by the way, again, let me plead with you. If you're a parent with little children, this is the perfect thing to do. They love to sing. And you've got to take time to keep them engaged on Sabbath, not go home and tell them to be quiet and sit in the corner till the sun sets. Do you go door to door with David? Are you as scared to go door to door as I am? The first ministry I went on when I arrived here was with David Clemente door to door. Why? Because I hate going door to door. I went with Wendell. You go with Wendell, he'll do all the talking. And he'll say, Pastor, pray for them. And I'll go, that's what I'm here for. Seriously, I'll pray with anybody, anytime, anywhere. But sometimes getting to them is a frightening thing for me. We hand out literature. Door to door. What am I forgetting, folks? Oh, next Sabbath, we're going to go out Christmas caroling. By the way, is it too cold for you? Do you know how quickly my voice runs out? Do you know how much fun it is to be surrounded by a group of people singing Christmas carol than two or three? And do you realize that God will lead us to a house of people who may be broken and destroyed and had nothing positive happen to them? And here we'll come. Is it too much work for you? Well, I want you to know, heart selfish, you're not prepared for the appearing of the Messiah. World and gross, dress, adornment, play. I am so concerned because they are trying to ruin my church. For I'm a convert to this church, and I was taught what the Bible teaches, and I became a pastor by the call of God, and now I see our people trying to be like the world and bring it into the church and think it's all right in their actions, their behavior, in their dress, in their adornment, and even their entertainment now. And by the way, you know that social drinking in some of our areas of the church are acceptable. Well, doesn't the Bible say a little wine is good for the stomach? By the way, if you haven't studied that out with me, I'll study it with you and show you what it really means. Where's my church going at a time when Jesus is about ready to come? And I clearly see that the hotshots in the city where he put his name had no clue. You know what we call that today? Clueless. And have you ever stopped and sat down and said, okay, Lord, I'm going to be alone with you right now. Let no distraction come. I'll throw my cell phone out the window, turn off the TV, the radio, the computer, and stop and think, how did heaven feel when at first they weren't sure who in the world they were going to appear to announce the birth of the greatest event that ever happened in the ages? How do you think they felt? Worldly and gross, trying to bring the world into the church, thinking we can identify with people. Don't go there with me. Because the people are looking for an escape from out there. And if they come in here and find us just like they are out there, guess what? They'll be disillusioned. Just like the angels. I just imagine they came sailing in at the speed of light plus and came to a sudden halt. And they looked, and no one in Jerusalem, oh yeah, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage and having a good old time, and didn't even know. And then they looked around in the suburbs. And then they looked around to the north and the west and the east. And finally, they saw a little dim flicker of light. And they came to the shepherds. Are you indifferent? Are riches that important to you? Worldly honor, hearts that are selfish, worldly engrossed, Or are you longing to behold the unseen? By the way, can I tell you something about this? If you're any of those things, you're welcome here. But don't get mad when we try to beat it out of you. And if you want to know why, it's because I want to make Jesus happy. I can't imagine how heaven felt going, what? You're kidding? You got to be kidding me. This can't be happening. I don't believe this. Our master is down there to be born in a barn and laid in a cow feeder. And no one even cares. And I thought, I don't want to be like that. I want to be different. And I've got some problems in that area, okay? I've got some problems there. But I'm determined to do something about it by the grace of God. And I want my church to be determined to do something about it by the grace of God. And to go home and inspect these things for yourself and see if the Spirit isn't telling you to do something about it. Are you willing to change? You know, Christmas is supposed to be a time of gifts, which, by the way, is a lot of foolishness. Okay? Because when it was my birthday as a child, guess who got the gifts? Who got the gifts? I did. And isn't it interesting that when Christmas comes, we give each other gifts? Are you willing to let the Spirit of God change your thinking? Are you willing to let the Spirit of God take some behavior out of your life that you know is not appropriate to the Bible, even if you've got 1,000 excuses? And allow the Spirit to change you so you can more represent Jesus. So you can more honor His name by being different from the world that accommodates any opinion as long as it doesn't disturb the next person. Hey, if that's what you want to do, that's all right with me. Me, I'm not going to do that, but that, you want to do that, that's fine. Are you willing to give? You know the most valuable thing we possess? Time. The most valuable thing we possess is time. Are you willing to give of your time? But next comes your tithe, as far as I'm concerned. Why? Because you're acknowledging Jesus as your partner. That's the little cut He asks you to give. By the way, in the business world where I've had some interactions through church members, the hotshot gets all the money. But in God's universal kingdom, He gets a minor cut. 10%. And we are reluctant to give it. And it isn't giving anyway. Return it. You never give a tithe that doesn't belong to you. You can't give something that doesn't belong to you. Are you willing to give? By the way, you know, we've got some people out of work. On Sabbath, we're having our Christmas offering here. We're going to ask you to do something which in my churches we always did. We did it last year, do it again this year. Whatever gifts you're buying for your family, the most expensive gift that you buy for your family, a gift higher in price should be brought here to Jesus first. By the way, I pity you who are buying your kid a car. Because a bigger gift is to come here for Jesus. It's His birthday, not ours. We got people out of work that might need money for Christmas. I'll give you a list? No. Here's what I'll give you. Get on your knees at home and say, Lord, is there somebody in this church I need to give money to? And let God tell you. Because we have people that have been out of work for over a year. And God speaks to you just like He speaks to me. I want you to pray about that and think about giving something to someone else. And you can bring that in your offering and you can write it inside the tithe envelope, so when our treasurer opens, it'll say, please give this gift to so-and-so for Christmas. And if you want to remain anonymous, you just tell your treasurer, don't want anybody to know about this. And you bring it up here for the offering. Are you willing to start over again? I am so thankful that God allows that to happen, because I can't tell you how often I feel like I need to start over again. Unfortunately, and I'm ashamed to say that. Are you willing to trust God in these hard economic times and lean on Him and His promises instead of our own means and methods? Are you willing to believe that Jesus can really work miracles in your behalf and cares about you personally? Friends, I hope so. I hope you look at this list a little bit and think about it. My prayer is that the Spirit of God will convict all of us, including me, in any area that needs to be looked at in our lives, and that we would be willing to let Him do something about it, so that when they come here, they will find Jesus instead of the world, which is what they're trying to flee from. This is my Newsweek. This came in the mail last week. It's kind of hard to focus on that, isn't it? Because it's upside down. And I want you to see the title of this article: How Great Powers Fall. Steep debt, slow growth, and high spending kills empires. And America could be next. So my friends, the secular magazines are beginning to, in their own timid way, acknowledge that things are not hunky-dory like they appear to be or they have always been. And I'll tell you, it's time to cut loose from the world and give it all to God. Father in heaven, I want to pray that each person here will feel the tug on their heart and their mind from the Holy Spirit to accomplish whatever is we need to give in and give up on. Something we've been holding back. Something we've been too fearful, rebellious, or timid to give over You, thinking that if we do this, it will hurt us here. And how foolish that could be, Lord, when we have a God who can do anything all the time. Oh, Lord, for a pastor that would stand for principle even when a gun is at his head. For a church that will think about Jesus instead of their own self. Help us at Paradise to be that pastor in that church. And then bring the people that are desperately looking for hope and help that they can't find anywhere else, because all they see is a mixture of the world and religion instead of just religion. So bless now each person, Father. Help decisions to be made. Let no one be fearful. And we will give You the praise and the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.